Hallelujah. I greet you, saints, this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord, believing that it is always the best place we can be found. And really thank God for this opportunity this morning, and just trusting in Him. And really thank the pastor for the confidence he has in me to open his pulpit, this very sacred desk. And I believe that we are all prayed up, and therefore it will be God who takes over. And whilst we are still standing, let us read a few scriptures, and then we'll take our seats. Let's start in the book of Luke, chapter 3. Let's read verse 21 to 23, and verse 38. And we'll also read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 23 reads thus. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Like where the Bible says, as was supposed, because he was not the son of Joseph. And verse 38 says, and which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Maybe let's just read the final scripture before we sit in the book of Acts, chapter 17. And we'll read verse 28 to 29. And the Bible reads thus. Let's start in verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring.
Benzio, vachiti nokuti tiri rudzi rwake.
For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device.
Zvatiri rudzi rwaMwari hatifanire kuti Mwari wakafanana nendarama kana sirivheri kana ibwe zvakavezwa noumhizha kana kuchenjera kwomunhu.
Let us just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and dear loving Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, once again this morning we approach your throne of mercy. Heavenly Father, we look to your word where all of our promises come from. You said in that way that if two or three of us gather in your name, you'll be in our midst. Lord, we're standing on those promises this morning, believing that you are here. And being here, we believe that you're the only one worthy to speak to us. And Heavenly Father, therefore I ask that, Lord, you put me aside and that you remove every human ability and every human faculty, that you come down yourself to speak to us this morning. We have read the word, and maybe with a little bit of education and some physical strength as your prophet teaches us, we may be able to comprehend and turn the pages of the Bible. But Father, we know that it takes the author to bring about the revelation of what you've read. So I pray and I desire this morning that you come down and reveal your word to us, that we may see ourselves in this word. Bless, O Father, is my prayer, the pastor of this church. Bless the ministers in this church. Blessed Heavenly Father. Bless the church at large, Heavenly Father, believing that they are here as a signpost from heaven. Lord God, that everyone around here may know that there are those who represent heaven in this part of the city of Harare. Bless your children abundantly and exceedingly is my prayer. Bless our time together this morning as we ask these blessings, believing in the precious name, the wonderful name, the gracious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. May God richly bless you. You may be seated, friends. The Lord being merciful to us this morning, would like to share a little thought about the genes of God. And as we've just read these scriptures, but before we get into our thought, there's a scripture that I just want to read. We don't have to read it, but I'm trusting in this scripture this morning. The prophet of God says, when the revelation of the word came, the Bible has become a new book. So that's why we love reading our Bible, because we read the Bible in the light of the resurrected Lord Jesus. We have a different understanding of the Bible because we go into the thoughts of God. We catch the original thought of God, and that makes all the difference. It's not because we've gone to school to study the Bible, but it's because the author himself has come in and he's the one speaking to us through the Bible. And that's why this morning I believe that we all love reading our Bibles. And we love reading the spoken word, which is the revealed word of the hour. And by God's grace, that's what we'll be doing this morning. I always say that it's the safest option. Because then it cannot be that Brother Tsepisho said this. It will all be what the Bible says and what the prophet says. And that's what we're trusting in this morning. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 11. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And I'm trusting in the Lord this morning that in ministering, It will be the ability that God gives. That it will not be my own abilities because I have none. I certainly have nothing to say if God himself doesn't say something. And so we are going to look into this little thought to see the genes of God. Which genes I believe we are. The Bible where we've read says we are the offspring of God. Meaning that we are God's children. And the word gene, I liked a particular translation of it. It says that it's the informal use of the word in the Oxford Dictionary, but I like the way that they explain it. It says it's a unit of heredity. Which is transferred from a parent to the offspring. And he says, it is held to determine some characteristic of the offspring. And that is really what I like about this definition. That it is transferred from the parent. And the prophet of God says, you know, he cannot glory in his earthly parents. He says many of the Branhams died with their boots on. They were drunkards. So he may not glory in his earthly genealogy. But he says we thank God for our heavenly parents. And that's why he could say, I'm not a child of Charles and Ella Branham anymore. One day he realized that he's actually a child of God. That he has a heavenly parent. And that's what we are this morning. As the very genes of God. And the prophet of God says in the spoken word leadership, paragraph 165, says with your physical you contact the physical. With your spiritual, you contact the spiritual. But he says, but inside of that, you've got a soul. And that soul is that gene that comes from God. So when you go through the flesh and you go through the spirit, you find a soul. And that soul is a gene that comes from God. You know, sometimes as human beings, we spend quite a bit of time in the first two parts. But the real us is the one on the inside. The real us is that gene that comes from God. So if it is a gene that comes from God, it means the gene that was transferred from God to us, which then determines our characteristic. So our characteristic has to be godly if our soul is that gene that comes from God. Because the prophet of God teaches us that as a young man, a young man lives with his genes on his inside until he finds the bedding ground of a wife, of a woman. And then those genes are expressed. And when the genes are expressed, then he can have fellowship with those genes. And he says, so are you as sons and daughters of God. You were in God before God became God. Because God is an object of worship. Before there was anything to worship him, you were in him then. And that's why the book of Ephesians says, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation. And he says your spiritual gene has to have been in God there. And he says something wonderful. He says, you don't know nothing about it. What happened is that when man fell, his channels of contacting God were clogged up. And spiritual amnesia set in. Oh, you know, the book of Luke, the prodigal son, a story that we know very well. But there's a verse that I love, where the Bible says, let's just get to it. It is the book of Luke chapter 15, verse 17. It says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And make me as one of thy servants. But as we know the story, this man was a son in his father's house. And he said to his father, I want to take my inheritance and go and spend it. And he wandered off into a faraway country where he squandered his inheritance. And he fell so far and so low until he ended up eating with swine. And the prophet of God says, for a Jew to end up eating with swine, that shows how far this man had fallen. Oh, but the Bible says he came to himself. So he came to a part on the inside that was not the one eating with swine. There was a part eating with swine, but there was another part. And when he came to that part, the Bible says, he said, I shall rise and go to my father. And I'll say, Father, I have sinned. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But as we know how the story goes, the Bible says his father saw him from afar off. And he called for the biggest feast in the house. He ran and hugged him. Why? Because he was his gene. Although he had fallen so far away from him, in him was a part of him. And he could not deny that part. Once a son, always a son. And the prophet of God says, if you were not there, then you will never be. So, the mystery to our salvation is not the day somebody shared a spoken word book with us. It's not the day when somebody said to us, God has sent us a prophet. It's not the day when somebody said to you, no, baptism is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that's not the key to your salvation. The key to your salvation is that you carry in you the genes of God. And it is that gene of God that had to one day, like the prodigal son, say, I will rise and go to my father. And that is the real Christian. That is the real message believer. The one who is a part of God. Only those who are a part of God can worship him. You know, the prophet of God says, we always preach the gospel to everybody. And we say that God loves everybody. But in truth, the gospel is not for everyone. The gospel is only for the genes of God. The gospel is only for those who come from God and go back to God. Heaven belongs to only those who come from heaven and go back to heaven. And the proof of you coming from heaven is when you believe the word of God. Prophet of God says, there's been a long raging debate as to what is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. How do you know that you have the Holy Ghost? The prophet of God once says that him and Brother Lee Vale reached an agreement that if you have love, if you love everybody, that is the sure proof that you have the Holy Ghost. And the prophet, that was their agreement. That was not God's way. God had to come down himself and say to the prophet that the only evidence that you have the Holy Ghost is if you believe the word of God. Because it is the Holy Ghost that wrote the Bible. If he writes the Bible, he can't come and disagree with the Bible in you. If it is him in you, then he will punctuate every word with an amen. Because he is the one who authored it. He is the one who wrote this Bible. So your spiritual gene was in God before God became God. And we don't join the family of God. We are born in the family of God as the genes of God. Because that's who we are. The prophet of God goes further. He says, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, because he was the fullness of the Godhead body. If the Lord Jesus Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, then you were in him. You were in him walking the streets of Galilee. The prophet of God says you died with him. You rose with him from the dead. Because he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if you are a part of God, you never leave or you never stop being a part of God. So if the entire fullness of God comes and dwells in a body called Jesus, you are in there. Your spiritual gene is in there. Because you are a part of God. And that's what the book of Romans chapter 8 says. The book of Romans chapter 8 says, if we, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. If we can maybe just jump down to verse 16. Says, and the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
vadyiwe nhaka yaMwari, vadyiwe nhaka pamwe chete naKristu kana tichi tambudzika pamwe chete naye tigokudzwawo pamwe chete naye.
I love it when the Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ.
Bible parinoti tiri vadyiwe nhaka pamwe chete naKristu.
Because we are part of the great economy of God. And maybe we'll get to some quotations where the prophet puts it nicely. So our spirit, the spirit that is on the inside, must be the same spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we all believe and know that He was the Son of God. And therefore, if we are sons and daughters of God, we must have in us what was in Him. And that's what He says. The Lord Jesus Christ says, in John chapter 15, we will not read it. He says, it behooves you that I leave. Maybe let's read it. There's some wonderful things that he says. Maybe we'll read it from in. Let's read chapter 16. You know, the Bible is so good. So many wonderful things here. We can read from verse from chapter 14. Oh, you can read the whole Bible. So, but let's pick it up from chapter 16, verse 7.
Chapter 16, John, verse 7.
Says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for I will, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And we know in I believe it's in chapter 14 where he says, chapter 14 verse 25, one read it says, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. And verse 8 says, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And we know He is a personal pronoun. So the Holy Ghost is a person. And the prophet of God shows that it's not just an anointing. It's not just a sensation. It's not just a feel-good thing. And that's why the speaking in tongues could not be the evidence of the Holy Ghost. It must be the person. Because we believe that there is one God. And the prophet will also clarify that even further for us as we continue. The same God who manifested Himself as the Father, as the Son, as the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is God. So it's not just a sensation, but it is God Himself. In fact, He is God Himself. Verse 12 of the same scripture, chapter 16. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, and He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He will speak, and He will show you things to come. Verse 15, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Let's jump over into verse 23. So here we see that He says that it is expedient for you that I leave. Because if I don't leave, the one who is on the inside of me will not come into you. So I must leave so that the one who is on the inside can come into you. That's what he's saying in these verses. And then when we go down to verse 23, he says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. No, the prophet of God says, we have not because we ask not. We ask not because we believe not. The Bible says, ask. No, it's almost an instruction.
It
says, hitherto you have not asked anything in my name.
It
says, ask and you shall receive. Says, verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. So the Lord Jesus Christ says, you, I must go so that what is in me may come in you. And because we are joint heirs with him. That's why the book of Philippians says, let this man be in you, which also was in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, and the prophet of God says, sorry, we'll come back to John chapter 16. Let's just, we know this thing, these are our end time scriptures. So it says, verse 5, Philippians chapter 5, says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God. Now the prophet of God shows us that word form in the original Greek is en morphe, meaning moving from invisible to visible. So the Bible says we must have the same mind that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, meaning that being in the visible form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So when God condescended to become man, the Lord Jesus Christ came to give us an example that when you come in that form, don't think it robbery to be equal with God. Because the prophet of God teaches us that God is unchanging. And he only changes his mask, but he doesn't change his character. When he comes in you, he's still God. And that's what the book of Philippians shows us, that we must have that mind, that even when we come into the physical, visible form, we must not think it robbery to be equal with God. Because we are joined heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came as the wave sheaf. He came as the first one to reach maturity. And as the first one to reach maturity, he was saying that there's the rest that are coming to reach the same level of maturity. And the Bible calls him the firstborn. The book of Romans chapter 8 says he is the firstborn among many brethren. He was the firstborn in the family among us who are his many brethren. That's why we are joined as with him. What was in him is in us. And that's why he says here now, where we've read in John chapter 16, that when you realize that, and when you ask the Father, I'm not saying that I will ask the Father, because the Father himself loveth you. And therefore, you now have he's saying you have a direct relationship with the Father. You ask in my name, And the Father himself will answer. Because the one who's inside of me has now come in you. As long as in you, you have the same genes that I have, which are the genes of God. And this is that man who is that person or that man who is in the gene of God is the Genesis 1 person. And man made in the image of God. And the prophet of God says, and question and answers on Genesis. We'll try and maybe read it slowly. There's some wonderful nuggets that he says here. Paragraph 21. Or we'll start from paragraph 21. He says now, if God created man in his own image, what kind of man did he create? A spirit man. The Genesis 1:26, man is a spirit man. And he says, so when God had finished creating all other things, he then made man in his own image to lead his creation. That's why he gave him all power and dominion. And that's exactly what Genesis 1:26-28 says. That this man in the image of God, he has dominion over all of God's creation. Because he is in the image of God. And we'll see as we continue. He says he was in other ways the first man in the lower creations of God. He was the first man in the lower creations of God. Says the first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. And out of the Logos, which was the Word, came forth the man. So this is the condescension of God. The first one being God himself, Elohim. The self-existing one. Before he even became God. Alone with his attributes, with his thoughts. And you and I were in him. That's where our origin is. We originate in God there. And then he began to unfold. And the prophet says, out of that came forth the Logos. And he teaches us that is not the second person, but is God taking form. He uses the Greek word kinos. It's the same one changing from this to this. He pouring himself into the second form, the Logos, which is the Word, which is the anointing, which is Christ. And you are represented there as a thought, as an attribute, as a theophany. And out of that came forth the man. So which was the unfolding of God, the condescension of God to become a man. And in paragraph 43 of the same spoken way, he says, he got all those things made. And then he asked this question. He says, now, let us. And the prophet says, who? When he said, let us, who was he referring to? He says, Father and Son. Because he had now expressed himself into the Logos, which is the Son of God. Christ, the Word, the anointing. Make man in our own image. And he says, now, if a man was made something like that little sacred light yonder. So, this God has now taken a step. And now he is about to take the next step in his condescension, in his unfolding. And that is to make man in his own image. And he says, that man, he was made that little sacred light out yonder. He says it could not be seen. It was a spiritual being. Because the Genesis 1 person is a spirit man. He says he manifested or unfolded himself a little more. He had already unfolded himself into the Logos, the Son of God, the Word, Christ. And he says, now he wants to unfold himself a little more. And he says, to make a trinity of himself. So that he may be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So when he had unfolded himself into the second step, he was not complete. He needed to take the next step and make man in his own image. So it's the continuity of God from that spirit being, that great eternal fountain of spirit, to the Logos, to the man. It's the great continuity of God. And that's why the prophet says he wanted to make a trinity of himself. And we'll see how the prophet of God shows that, and we'll read the quotations, that both the oneness people and the Trinity people are wrong. That's what the prophet says. Because God wanted to manifest himself in a threefold manner. He didn't want to be, the prophet says, God is not one like a finger. Maybe let's just read that quote and then we'll come back. We'll come back to that. Let's take it step by step. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. So to make a trinity of himself, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And here was God unfolded himself now down into let us make man, which was his son, an offspring from him, a man in our own image. He was a supernatural being. That's why he could have dominion. And he says, paragraph 61, now we are returning back to that image. Our first created image. So that's what the Word of God has come to take us back to that. The revelation of the Word has come to remove our spiritual amnesia. To remove the scales from our eyes. So that we can see who we are. That we can receive our spiritual sight back. And see that we are the very genes of God. And he says, now there was some part of me and all of you here that were in Jesus Christ before the world began. He says, and I think that the people today that are possessed with the Spirit, a part of these angelic beings, these spirits, which rotated off of God. He says, you who were in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, you are a spirit that rotated off of God. God was the great fountain. God was a great source. And you, as a part of God, you rotate off of that. You are the very part of that. Now the prophet of God says, now here you get God in just exactly. It says, and between the oneness and the Trinity, you'll get the thing exactly right. Between the oneness and the Trinity, you get the right thing. Because if you leave God as just one like a finger, you miss His unfolding. You miss His manifestation when He comes into your form. But the prophet of God says God wanted to condescend a little bit more. He condescended into the Logos, and as the Logos or the Word, that is the form that He was in when He created. And the book of John chapter 1 verse 3, Colossians chapter 2, all of those scriptures show that it was God as the Son or the Logos of Christ who created. He stepped into that form to create. But He wanted to condescend even further so that He may complete, as the prophet calls it, His Trinity. As the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not three gods, but the same God manifesting Himself in different forms. And He says, in between the oneness and the Trinity, you get it. He says, so when man sinned, says not in his spirit but in his body, he separated himself from his Maker. And then God, the very creator of him, came down and was made in the image of man. Man was made in the image of God. That's Genesis 1:26. And then He came into Genesis 2:7, this body of flesh. And in this flesh, He fell. And therefore, God came down in the image of man. God made man in His image. And then He placed him into a body of flesh. And that man fell. So God had to come down and come in the image of a man, so that He could redeem that man. Because His own law demanded that He must come as a kinsman redeemer. It was man who fell. It was man who had to come and redeem him. He couldn't send an angel. He had to come down himself and take on the form of that fallen man. Oh. The book of Hebrews chapter 2 puts it nicely. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, "For as much as then the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." "For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham." "Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." So He could not come in the form of angels, because us, His brethren, were not angels. We were human beings. So He had to come and become a man so that He could reconcile us back. And as the Bible says, we are bought by the blood of God. So God unfolded himself and was made in the image of man to redeem that man. Calling Jesus on the scene, paragraph
40.
It says, maybe let's start in paragraph 41. Now, that same pillar of fire, the fatherhood, he said to us that between the oneness and the Trinity, you see God perfectly. He says now that same pillar of fire, the fatherhood, came down and was made God in sonship. He dwelled in a pillar of fire in the Shekinah glory. Here he dwelled in a body which was his son that he created and made in the form of a man. And then he had to come through. Okay, let's jump then. Paragraph 42 says, now the cell or the spirit lays in the blood. And when the blood cell of a lamb or an animal was broken, the life that was in that cell could not come back on the worshipper. An animal does not have a soul. So, when God wanted to redeem man, he had put a temporary system of the blood of animals. But the prophet of God teaches us that a man would come with a conscience of sin to sacrifice. And he would come with that conscience of sin and live with the same conscience of sin. Because the blood of that animal or the life of that blood could not come back into him. But he says that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, who was God himself in flesh, when he came and died for us, the life that was in the blood could now come back in us. And that's why we can now take on his nature. He says, when the blood cell was broken in Jesus Christ, God was released. The breaking of the blood cell of Jesus Christ released the life of God. Says God was released. And he says, and that same blood, that same God that was upon Jesus Christ continues in the believer. So God had to come down and take on the form of a human being. And when he died, he released the life. The book of John chapter 20, chapter 21 maybe it may even be, when that Roman soldier came and pierced the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, out came the water and the blood. But there was a third invisible element, which was the spirit. And those three elements which were released is what makes up the bride. It is those three that makes us. That the very life that was in that body, as we always say, Christ is not the surname of Jesus. Christ is the one who was in Jesus. Christ is the God who was in Jesus. And when the Roman soldier was inspired to pierce his side, it released that life. And that same life came upon the children of God on the day of Pentecost. And that's why the prophet says, that same God who was in Jesus is now continuing in the believers. It's the same one doing the same things. See, there is God. See, not three gods. He says, how many of you Trinitarian people got that mixed up? And how you oneness people got it mixed up too, of him being one like your finger. So God is not one like your finger. God manifests himself in different forms. And the last stage of his unfolding is when he comes to continue in us is when he comes and he manifests himself in the believer. That is the end of the series. He says, the very Jehovah that made heavens and earth is right in this little vessel of ours. Oh, the very Jehovah, not another, but the very Jehovah who made heavens and earth, he's in this little vessel of ours. Says, while we are seeing lives made, the Holy Ghost is Jehovah in spirit form in you. So the Holy Ghost, it's not just a feeling and a sensation. It's Jehovah in spirit form in you. See, God himself in you. All that was in God, he poured into the Lord Jesus Christ. All that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, he poured into the church. And the prophet of God says, he divided himself on the day of Pentecost. You know, I always love even the words that the prophet uses. And, you know, part of the reason why we read these quotations, because I can never express it the way that he does. He just expresses it so beautifully. I might as well just read it from him. Because he just says it so much better than I can even try to say it. So, he says in paragraph 74 of calling Jesus on the scene. Says, then God, all that God was, he poured into Jesus. And all that Jesus was, he poured into his church. He divided himself on the day of Pentecost. And this is the part that I love. He says, that pillar of fire came down and busted himself up. God busting himself up so that he could be in a many-membered bride. He didn't want to be one like a finger. No, he's not one like a finger. He came and busted himself open so that that same one could be in a many-membered bride. The Shekinah glory put in different ones. Oh, friends, it's not just, we don't have in us some weakened part of God. No, it's the very Shekinah glory which has been put in the different ones. God identifying himself in human beings. Oh, because this man who is the gene of God. That's why the prophet of God says, you know, God was creating. He says, as God was creating, it's almost as if God was learning a bit more. That's what the prophet says. Because it was getting higher and higher and higher. And he says, what was happening, it was that great spirit brooding over the creation. And as he's brooding over the creation, like a hen brooding over the eggs, and as you see, the life is already in the egg. It's already in there. When the hen lays on the egg, all that it is doing is creating the right environment for the egg to hatch. So God had already created. The prophet of God says, you know, he says the scientists, they just don't read their Bible well. You know, he says there was a man who said, no, how can you say God created the whole earth in 6 days? The prophet says, no, that's not true. I never said that. That's not what the Bible says. And you'll be surprised. He says, no, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, period. As to how many years it took, the prophet of God says, it was period. And what happened thereafter was that creation coming forth. And the prophet says it was the spirit brooding over the creation, and the creation was coming forth. But the creation had already taken place. He says hundreds of billions of years before. And he says, as he was brooding over this creation, paragraph 47, masterpiece. He says, but finally, they came forth upon the earth a perfection. And that was a man. And he could see in that man that it looked like him. When he looked upon him, he was a reflection of what his creator was. God had achieved what he wanted to achieve. A man in his very image. And it is that man who is the gene of God. The one who is in the very image of God. The one who, when God looked in, he saw himself. Because there was a part of him in there. He was a reflection of himself. He was a reflection of his creator. The same thing he says, in the seed shall not be heir with the shark. Paragraph 79, he says, he was God, the Logos, the word that went out of God. And he says, when he began to brood over the earth, he brought forth marine life. The Spirit of God, the Logos, the Word, which God said, let there be. And there went the Logos, which is the Word. And he says, and all that was in the Logos, the whole Word of God. And as the Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there come marine life, building up bed life, animal life. Says, and finally, there came something in the representation that looked like the thing that was brewing it. God. So finally, what came forth looked like the one who was brooding. And the one who was brooding was God. And he says, a man in the very image of God. And he says, that man fell after he was put in flesh in Genesis chapter 2. And he says, and God immediately began to work again to bring that man back again. And he says, and that same Logos has a part. He has a bride. And this same Logos, the word that cannot be tempered with, is brooding over the church today, trying to bring the word to its full manifestation. The Logos has a bride, a people empowered with the same powers that he had. A people with the same characteristics that he had. And because that's what we are called to do. We are called to represent God here on earth. That's what he says in Countdown, paragraph 31. He says, God made the world. It might have taken a trillion years in the making, I don't know how long. But he made it. He didn't say how long. And he says, it's none of our business how long. And I believe that in there, everything on earth reflects heaven. I believe, because you see, everything struggling for life is because there's a life that is reflected from. It says, and I believe that when God made the man, he started reflecting the smaller things such as animal life. And then he started creating something different. And he says, and the last thing that ever came from the earth in the form of creation was a man. Nothing higher ever came. Says it was a perfect reflection of the highest in heaven. And then he says something very dangerous here. He says, the highest in heaven, which God is a man. Say, see, God is a man. So therefore, it proves it. When he came to dwell among us, he was a man. You know, there's something that the prophet says in Entombment. I love this quotation, paragraph 50 of Entombment. He says, before we get to it, again the prophet of God says, as God was creating, finally, the last thing, which was the highest order on the earth that came, was the man. And he says that showed that this man, who is the highest on earth, is a reflection of the highest in heaven. And if the highest on earth is a man, the highest in heaven is a man. And he says God is a man. And this is what the prophet says. It says now, in paragraph 15, Tubman, he says, it says, the entire God, let's start it nicely. And then no doubt in my mind, that's what Jesus had in his mind when he was here on earth, was the infallibility of God's eternal word. The prophet of God says, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that he had, the secret to that power, was because he knew what the word said about him. And he believed what the word said about him. And for us to access all of God's great storehouse, we must know what the word says about us and believe what the word says about us. And I firmly believe that doctrinally sound as the message is, you cannot question the doctrine of the message. It came to set doctrine in order. It came to teach us the right baptism. The message came to teach us the right revelation of the Godhead. It came to restore holiness so that we may know how to conduct ourselves. But that was not the main purpose of God sending the message. All of that was preparatory work. I believe that the greatest purpose of the message is to show us who we are. God sent this message to come and reveal to us who we are. And once we catch the mystery of who we are, Satan stands no chance. The prophet of God says, that is what makes the devil angry. It's for the church of God to know who she is. And the prophet of God says, when the bride knows who she is, the rapture will take place. So the main aim of the message is not so much the doctrine, but it's to show you who you are. It's to show you who you are. When God reveals himself, he reveals you. The main aim of God revealing himself is for him to reveal you. As you see him unfolding, you must see yourself unfolding. As you see him coming from that great Elohim to the Logos, to the man, you must see yourself unfolding from the great attributes, becoming a theophany, becoming a man. And when you are here as a man, with your channels clogged up. The prophet says, we all know the story of the eagle. The funniest looking chicken in the barnyard. But that was not a chicken. It took the cry of the mother eagle for the eagle to recognize, I'm not a chicken. And the word of God is the cry of the mother eagle, telling us that we are not human beings. We are actually not human beings. We are genes from God. It is Almighty God who dwells in us. We are heavenly beings. We have come to reflect heaven here on earth. That's what the message has come to do. To show us who we are in the great economy of God. Entombment says, the entire Godhead was in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says he was both the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All of that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 1 says Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost. He came out of the River Jordan, full of the Holy Ghost. So he was the entire Godhead bodily. If God is represented as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all of that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the prophet. But, he says, but dwelling in a human form. That's what it was. The entire Godhead dwelling in a human flesh. The theophany of God says the great image of God that he made men in. You know, I love this quotation. So, the prophet of God says, it is the image of God that he made men in. So, and let's continue. He says, the theophany of God. He says, he had a body. God is not without a body. He says, God has a body. And it looks like a man. The body of God looks like a man. So, we are in the image of God. Not this body of flesh here, but the spirit man on the inside. But that spirit man on the inside, that theophany, that glorified body that we're going into, is not in a different shape to what we are. When we come back into these glorified bodies, it will look like human beings. Because that is the great image of God that he made men in. The first one to look in this form and shape was God. That's why he says, out of that, you know, he actually says, the logos. Or he says, or the logos, or the theophany, when you look at that, that's a man. That's what the prophet of God says in COD. That when you look at that theophany, that's a man. So, we're showing here that in countdown it says God is a man. Because man being the highest form on earth reflects the highest in heaven. And the prophet says, therefore, God is a man. Entombment says the great image of God that he made man in. And he says the body of God looks like a man. That's who we are. The oneness. Paragraph 20. He says, in flesh we may be different. But in the spirit we are sons and daughters of God. Not another spirit, but the spirit of the living God. We are in his likeness, in his unity. Not separated, but the same spirit. The same God. The same person. He says, oh, see how God planned it that we should not be different but him. When you look on the inside, we are not different from God. We look exactly like him. You know, the prophet of God says in adoption that when man fell, he lost his godship. That's what man, he lost his sonship, he lost his godship. When we fell. In fact, maybe Let's read this quotation in, I believe it's in Future Home. Oh no, God hiding himself in simplicity. The prophet of God says, maybe let's take it nice and slow. He shows again, because the confusion is that this flesh clogs up our spiritual channels, that we are not able to see clearly who we are. But the prophet of God teaches us that amnesia is treated by taking the person through familiar place.
So,
the word of God is our familiar place. As we go through the word, it's our familiar place. Oh, we then say, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. And then amnesia is removed. So that's why we are just looking into the word, so that our amnesia may be removed. Because that's where we come from. We were represented there. So when you take us back to the word, the scales come from off from our eyes, we can now see clearly and see exactly who we are. The prophet of God says, God in simplicity. Brother, you forgive me for what? I was at church, I didn't drink no alcohol. But he says, justification is that this man who had sinned, his blood is so removed. It's as if he's never done it in the first place. God does not remember it at all. You stand justified in the sight of God. Oh, he says, Moses, under this temporary arrangement of the blood of bulls and goats, he could speak things into existence. He could speak and there were frogs. He could speak and there were flies. This and this happened under this temporary arrangement. And the prophet of God says, you know, God always uses a man. He says, God uses the mechanics of a man. He says, God has no hands but your hands. He has no feet but your feet. He has no mouth but your mouth. If you can yield yourself completely to him, the prophet says, he wants to come in you more than you are willing to let him in. Even more than you want him in, he wants to come in. Because God uses a man. And so he says now, well, how about us who are on this side, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. And he says, what was that? It was God that created himself in a simple man called Moses. Now the prophet asks a question, says, now I want to ask you something. If the blood of a bull or a goat can be used for a bleach, which could only cover, but it couldn't remove, could not remove the sin, if it could put a man in a position to speak and be creative, and the creative word of God could bring flies into existence, would you stumble at the bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ, who could speak a squirrel or something into existence? He always says he remains the same. God in simplicity. Mark chapter 11, 23. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed. No, the prophet of God says, he always stumbled at this scripture. Because the Bible says, if you say to this mountain. He doesn't say, if I say to this mountain, it will move. No, if you say to this mountain. And he says, there he was, out in the woods, squirrel hunting. And there were no squirrels. And he said, okay, you know, I have a bit of time. I will sit down under a tree and talk to God about this scripture. How can the Bible say if you speak to this mountain? And this scripture came to his heart again. And God, the prophet of God says, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. And so God could not explain this scripture to the prophet. He had to bring it to pass. And that's when he told him to speak those squirrels into existence, showing him Mark 11 in action. And he says, if it could happen under the blood of bulls and goats, under Moses, how much more with us? If we have been reconciled back to our original position. See, because you are the living image of God. He says, if you can prostrate yourself before God, and then he fills you with himself. If you yield yourself completely to him, he fills you with himself. And you know the prophet talking about Michelangelo, about that image that Michelangelo made of Moses, that masterpiece. And he says that masterpiece that Michelangelo hit and said, speak. It couldn't speak. But he says, God, when he makes this masterpiece, he comes into it. And we, when he struck his son on the side, forth came us. And we are the masterpiece. In the spoken word, the world is falling apart. And he says, there's only one thing that will satisfy. Is when, and before this, he speaks about, you know, mankind this and that. He says, but there's only one thing that will satisfy. Is when Christ comes into the man's life. Because he's made in the image of God. He's made in the statue of God. He says, God didn't give you this trip here on earth to be this or that. You know, I love the way it's a trip to earth. We come from heaven. We took a trip to earth. But the purpose of this trip was not for us to become this and become that. No, it's for us to be sons and daughters of God. It's for us to express heaven. And he says there's nothing else that will satisfy. And it's to take God's economy, his way of doing it through his way. Shalom, paragraph 9, he says, this particular one preached in January 64. God is in man. He is identifying himself today in his church. In the born again Christian, God identifies himself that he remains God. And the outside world will only see God when they see God in you and I. For the world to see God, they must see God in you and I. God has placed us here to display him. We are displaying God to this world. And the prophet says, wherever you may be, whether at school or at work, you must display God to this dying world. Because their only chance of seeing God is when they see him in you. And he says, the spirit that was in him is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Eternal life. Jehovah Jireh. Paragraph 106. Number one. Jehovah Jireh number one. He says, this also preached in April 1964. He says, he tore the body of Jesus apart. He said earlier on that he came to break himself. Now he says he tore the body of Jesus apart. And he taken the spirit out of the body and set it on the right hand of God. And sent down the other part, the soul that went to preach to those souls that refused to listen to the word of God. As Peter tells us. And he says, and then the very life that was in Christ is in you. That shows that he is your redeemer. He has adopted you unto God. And now we are sons and daughters of God with the Spirit of Christ. That's why he says, the works that I do shall you do also. The Spirit that was in him is in you. The life that was in him is in you. He says, if you transfer the life of one thing into the other, what comes out is the life that was transferred. And I'm trying to jump a few things here. It says the spiritual royal seed of God believes. They believe in the resurrected Jesus being in them. And he says, oh my, see, the same thing. The whole church must be in relation, which was typed in the natural seed. Like Isaac and Rebecca being blood cousins. Says, what was Eve?
Adam and Eva. What? Eva and Archie.
Her and Adam were the same. Because Eve was taken out of Adam. And that's why the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, he called them Adam. Adam and Eve were called Adam. And that's why Ephesians chapter 3 says the whole family in heaven and on earth is called by his name. It's called Jesus Christ. That is our family name. And that is the name of the Father. Because he says, I came in my Father's name. And the prophet of God says, the name of the Father is Jesus Christ. That is the name of the Father. And that is the family name. And we are called him. Eve was separated. It was only after Eve fell that she was called Eve. And she was given that name by Adam, not by God. God called them Adam. Genesis chapter 5, and then we go back to Genesis chapter 3. So, and then when she fell, she was separated. And it says, then when he separated Eve from Adam, Eve fell by disbelieving the word. And that's where the church fails today. Disbelieving the word. But in this case, the royal seed, those predestinated to eternal life. He says, I don't care what comes or goes, they are ordained to eternal life. And she goes right back. Her and her lover, Christ, is one. The life, the spirit that's in Christ is in the church. That's their eternal covenant here. God took the spirit of Christ, tore it apart at the sacrifice at Calvary, and took that spirit, and that same spirit that was upon him has come back. The same spirit, not another. Says God tearing loose, pulling out, says cutting apart, separating himself, dividing himself. Says he did that on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down, the pillar of fire came down. The same one that followed Israel, which was the Logos, which was Christ. He came down on the day of Pentecost, and what did he do? Divided himself. Tongues of fire set upon each and every one of them. God dividing himself among his people. That's what God was doing. And that's what God has done. When he came in the body of flesh called Jesus, when he died on the cross, it was for him to divide himself. So that same spirit that was in him could come on us. It was God tearing himself apart. A God dividing himself up so that we could not be anything different but him. Because we are a gene from him. A rotating directly from God. A flowing directly from God. Coming here to represent God. To show the world what Adam looked like. To show the world the power that Adam had. And it has been restored in the bride of Christ. When the second Adam came, he cancelled the sin of the first one. And here we are, as sons and daughters of God, anointed with the same spirit that anointed the Lord Jesus Christ. Joined heirs with him. Oh, we thank God for the message of the hour. We thank him for the revelation of the word that has come to reveal to us who we are. The prophet of God says, when we can see ourselves in that original form, when we can trace ourselves back to that great fountain of spirit, when we were just thoughts in the mind of God, and when we can see that, the prophet says, if you can see that the eternal, the thoughts of God are eternal, you can see many things. And it says that revelation of you being in him from the origin, he says it gives an eternal quality to a believer. There's an eternal quality to us because we can trace ourselves. We can see our origin. We didn't start here on earth. Prophet says a mule cannot trace its origin because it doesn't look like the mother or the father. It's a confused being. It's a confused animal. But we thank God that the message has come down so that we can trace ourselves back. We can trace ourselves back to our God. We can see who we are. As we close with this scripture in the book of Proverbs chapter 8, a scripture that we know very well, that talks about us. In Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 22, the Bible says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was with him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and the delights were the sons of men. This scripture talks about us as the genes of God. When he was creating all of this, we were there. We were there before Genesis 1. We are the people of John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we are those ones. To those who received him, to them gave he power to be called sons of God. We are those people. And that's what the Bible is talking about. And when we are able to trace ourselves that far, Satan cannot come and rob us here. Because we were there before Satan became Satan. Before he fell, we were there. We did not listen to his lie then, and we are not going to listen to his lie here. We fought him on Michael's side. We were the ones who kicked him out of heaven. And we are here to kick him out of this earth, because the earth is our inheritance. When it has been cleansed, we are coming back to spend eternity right here, because we are the genes that came from God. May God richly bless you. Welcome the pastor.